This is Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. I'm Fred Martino. It has been an extremely difficult week for the nation and the world. The United States has surpassed China with the most cases of coronavirus, over 83,000 as of last night, and some 1,200 have died. Today, the House approved an unprecedented $2 trillion relief plan, a plan coming after something else unprecedented, 3.3 million unemployment claims last week, the largest number in 1 week since tracking began in 1967. In fact, the closest number to that 3.3 million wasn't even close. 695,000 filed for unemployment during a week in 1982. In a moment, we will talk with Las Cruces Mayor Ken Miyagashima, who is working on a local relief plan. But first, the other big news that came this morning. You'll find it at the top of the region's homepage, krwg.org. New Mexico has announced K-12 schools will not reopen as planned, and students will have remote learning for the rest of the school year. Here's State Education Secretary Ryan Stewart speaking with KRWG News and other journalists this morning.
We're making the difficult decision to extend the closure of schools through the rest of the academic year. So this is in line with the CDC guidance, which suggests that we need longer closures in order to stop the spread. And it's also in line with New Mexico's strategy to make sure that we're taking very aggressive and proactive measures at every turn to combat the spread of this virus in New Mexico and save the lives of New Mexicans and keep our students, our families, and our communities safe. We know that this announcement is not one that we take lightly. It has a tremendous impact on our families and our communities. We recognize that, and we know that at this moment, making sure that we are doing everything in our power to keep social distance and stop the spread of this virus makes having to make this very difficult call absolutely necessary.
New Mexico Education Secretary Ryan Stewart. Stewart says students graduating this year will have until mid-June to prove competency with standards, and grading will switch to a pass-fail model. Big, big morning for the state of New Mexico with that announcement. Also a big morning for the city of Las Cruces. Some of you may have been watching the city council meeting this morning. And for the rest of the hour, I'm very pleased to have with us Las Cruces Mayor Ken Miyagashima. Mayor, it is good to have you here. How are you?
Pretty good, Fred. Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
It is very good to have you with us today. This was a very big morning in city council chambers, unanimous approval this morning by the city council of an ordinance that allows you as mayor and the city council to declare an emergency if needed. Tell me about that.
Correct. So the charter, the Las Cruces charter was, there was a charter commission back in 1980, and they really did a lot of good things to the charter. Well, one of the things that it's my understanding that was not included was an emergency provision in the event of a something so serious that needed to be acted upon. And so our city attorney suggested that we take a look at this to add to this ordinance that would allow myself to declare an emergency. And then by doing so, it would allow me to have access to the full city, whether it's through staff or through the budget process, the access to the money to take care of situations that should arise to protect life and property and that
yes.
of our residents.
Emergency needs. And as I understand it, you have the authority as mayor to declare an emergency for 3 days. Then the council would be coming back to declare an additional 14 days. Is that correct?
Correct. So we could move forward. Let's say I was to declare something, and so it would be in effect during those 3 days. And then if council thought that it was still prudent, they could then extend it. Or if they thought that, no, it's over, then nothing happens and it expires.
Do you have plans as of this moment to declare an emergency in the city of Las Cruces?
No, not at this moment.
Not at this moment. Okay, but you are working, as I understand, on a plan that would allow the city of Las Cruces, if it is legally permissible, to provide emergency funding from what is called the Telshore Fund. Tell me about that, what you're working on.
Right. So at this coming Monday, March 30th at 2 p.m., we're going to have another special meeting of the city council. And so we're going to discuss items that I brought forth, and I believe Mayor Pro Tem Gandara has a couple, and as do the other council members. And so this would be an opportunity to listen to what they have to say and need be move forward with those and fast track those to get those in place.
Okay. And the Telshore Fund, for folks who are not familiar, this was the fund that was set up using proceeds from the long ago sale of the hospital, which is now Memorial Medical Center, correct?
Yes. So when we leased the hospital back in 2004, they gave the city and county $20 million apiece. And so we put it in a separate fund, and we pledged that it would be used only for, social services, healthcare-related needs. And so that's what we've done, and
yes,
we've been able to parlay that through careful investments and such to, a pretty significant amount, pretty much doubling it, actually.
Sure. And, of course, this money was used for our emergency that we had where refugees were coming into the area and needed assistance, and funding was used from that pool of money to help with refugees. The city received accolades from all over the country for doing that. As I understand it, Mayor, there are some things that might come about that we have as needs in terms of this COVID-19 virus, things like purchasing meals for first responders and healthcare workers, maybe employing drivers on a temporary basis to help the disabled, the elderly, to get to medical appointments, maybe engaging with hotels to provide lodging for first responders or healthcare workers. These are just a few of the things that might come about in terms of a need for funding.
That's correct. So let's say, for example, a lot of our healthcare workers and first responders, it's like anything else, they're working long hours and they have very few hours at home and little time to prepare food. And so that might be something there that we might be able to provide box meals for them while they're working around the clock.
Right, right. So we want to invite our listeners to ask questions for you, Mayor, right now. They can call in at area code 575-646-2212. That's 646-2212. Most people, in terms of the city council meeting this morning, were watching online. There are restrictions, of course, on the number of people due to social distancing who can appear in person at council meetings. But one person who was at the council meeting this morning is a prominent local businesswoman, Marcy Dickerson, who owns The Game and The Game 2 and does catering in town. She was very appreciative of the efforts this morning to deal with this emergency that is occurring and possibly access funding from the Telshore Fund. Here's what she had to say.
If we take too long in any of this, of the solutions, then we're going to be looking at, in this particular instance, which we have, economic hardship, we have problems getting medical equipment and that type of thing. We have things that, unfortunately, money can't even solve some problems right now. But as long as, however you decide to do it, that it's very quick, that it is responsive, and that we don't end up with an economic solution that requires, if you will, an 800-page bid and is overly burdensome to the people we're trying to help. But again, thank you very much for even looking at it. Thank you for being willing to go, to the funds that you have to help the business community. I know that once this meeting was announced and your statement came out, that people certainly felt a lot better about a lot of things, and that, had some hope that the future some help would be coming with the future, and that we would all, you know, hopefully get some immediate help, because the federal government help that's being offered certainly is something that is very long term and is not going to be anything to immediately take care of problems. So thank you again for what all of you do. We really appreciate all your time. We know this is not easy for you. And that was all I had.
Las Cruces businesswoman Marcy Dickerson speaking at this morning's Las Cruces City Council meeting. And if you have a question or a comment for Mayor Ken Miyagashima, you can call us now at 646-2212. Mayor, Marcy Dickerson, just one of many business people in the area and many others in the area who are extremely concerned about the economic consequences of this that we are already beginning to feel here and all across the country. I understand another thing that you are looking at is exploring a potential plan to defer utility payments for businesses, possibly defer lodgers' taxes and fees while public health orders are in place, maybe set up special payment plans with businesses to repay things incrementally while they are under enormous stress, in some cases shutting down.
Oh yeah, no. This is, you know, this is something here that we're looking into to see what's possible. You know, obviously there's a certain amount of income that needs to be running for coming in for utilities, but nonetheless, I think it will be easier for government to operate than it would be than those businesses that are struggling right now. So it's just a tough time, Fred, and that's why we're looking at all different avenues to see what assistance we can provide, because we do recognize that what Congress has passed probably won't show up until mid-April, perhaps.
Right, right.
And so, or maybe even longer, I don't know. But this would be nice if we could have something that's more short, immediate, and then this other response from Congress, which is very appreciative of a little bit after that.
Okay. We are taking calls for Las Cruces Mayor Ken Miyagashima, 646-2212. We're also taking questions and comments on Facebook, where we are broadcasting live on Facebook as well, Facebook Live. Our first caller is James. James, your question for the mayor.
Good afternoon. I'm calling to see regarding the actual contagion itself. The last I heard, there was seven reported or confirmed positive cases in the Doñana County. Are any of those in the Las Cruces area? And if that does occur, are county officials like doing aggressive contact tracing? And is anybody from the CDC assisting with that locally or sent out locally or anything like that?
Great question, James.
I remind everyone to keep everyone safe and practice social distancing.
Absolutely.
It's safe.
James, thank you so much for that question. We do appreciate it. Mayor, what are you hearing about that? Certainly, we have heard that a New Mexico State University student returning to the area is one of the people who was diagnosed with COVID-19. What are you hearing in terms of the Doñana County cases? How many of them are in the city of Las Cruces?
You know, they actually don't focus on the city. I've asked that question, and it's all based on county.
Mm-hmm.
So unless, like this gentleman who unfortunately passed away, that was in, I believe, in Artesia, do they even focus on that? Because there's those HIPAA laws that are required to, you know, keep a certain amount of medical information away from anyone's
public. Absolutely. And of course, the releases that have come out from the New Mexico Department of Health, all of which are at krwg.org there, then they will remain there archived, simply list a number of new cases in each county. They don't break it down by city. There are 16 cases, the New Mexico Department of Health says, in Doñana County, and that's out of 136 total cases in the state of New Mexico. We have another caller right now on the line. We welcome Sheila. Hello, Sheila.
Hello.
Yes, Sheila, your question.
Oh, well, you just answered the one I was going to ask, but I have another one.
Yes.
What is the current percentage occupancy of our two major hospitals?
This is a good question. Mayor, what have you been hearing from our hospitals, Memorial Medical Center and Mountain View Regional Medical Center, about their current occupancy and what they are going to need potentially as cases may increase here?
Well, you know, I'm in daily contact with one of the hospitals, and so it appears to be doing well. I will say that MMC, Memorial Medical, has been designated as the receiving facility, but even yet this morning, I just reached out to the CEO of Mountain View and just asked, if whether or not they needed a separate facility, or was there any plans to turn their emergency room facility there on North Main, which is their newest one, just separately for people who might be considered, COVID-19 or coronavirus infected or being tested or things of this nature. And so right now, you know, they're still holding good. Everything seems to be working well. We're looking at possibly being there to assist them if should they need more medical supplies, if they can't get it, whether or not we're going to start reach out to the public, different businesses, if they can start making those.
Have you had a chance, Mayor, to talk yet with New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham about coordination with the state should Las Cruces need additional medical capacity?
I don't talk with her. I text her.
Okay. You communicate with her.
Right. And so, and then she also, her, what I refer to as her right-hand person, Caroline Burkle, and then Zach Quintero. He's I don't know if you call him the coronavirus key person, mm-hmm. but and then there's another, Victor Reyes, who coordinates with mayors. So
okay, well, you probably heard this week that Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has formally requested the U.S. Defense Department deploy a staffed 248-bed U.S. Army Combat Support Hospital to Albuquerque as a proactive measure intended to enhance the state's treatment capacity. If the hospitals here do become overwhelmed, is this something that you would approach the governor on, or would you directly approach the Defense Department to try to get additional capacity in Las Cruces?
Well, that's a great question, and that's exactly the reason why we needed to pass this emergency ordinance. But I will tell you that our emergency personnel, we do have access if we need to bring back online the old armory that we used during the asylum seeker situation.
Yes.
So the reason why that's, I think, a good location, it's a large building, very open space. We've already cleaned it, sanitized it, did whatever it needs to be, get it up to code, so to speak. All we have to do is just turn on the utilities and get it rolling. So those talks are there. We are prepared just in the event something like that should happen.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. We welcome Susan to Voice of the Public. Susan, your question for the mayor.
Thank you so much to both of you for offering us this opportunity to react and interact with you. I heard this morning on the news that the public schools will now be closed through the end of this school year, and I think that's a great idea in terms of the safety of students, faculty, and school personnel. I'm concerned that a lot of our students may not have the means at home to do the kind of distance learning that they're going to be required to do for the rest of the year. A lot of families don't have a computer or a laptop, and a lot of families don't even have internet access. Is there anything the city can do to help students in this position?
You know, Mayor, this is very interesting. As you know, I'm sure, the schools have until April 8th to come up with a plan, and part of this does involve that question of the digital divide. The city has been unusual in this respect in terms of education, in that the city has already in the past provided funding to Las Cruces Public Schools for their community school effort. Is this something that would possibly be considered if the schools need additional funding to help with remote learning?
You know, absolutely. This is something here. I'm also in frequent contact with the superintendent, Dr. Karen Trujillo, But that's been more as far as meals are concerned. But this is a great point here. You know, one of the things that we here in the council and myself, you know, we're very, of course, supportive of public education and make sure our children are given every opportunity they can to succeed and get the best education possible. So if it's needed, all Dr. Trujillo needs to do is let us know, and you know, we'll move forward with whatever we need to help make that happen.
And we should let our listeners know that Dr. Karen Trujillo, superintendent of Las Cruces Public Schools, will be with us on this program, not next week, but the week after. So it will be on a Thursday instead of a Friday because it happens to be Good Friday that week. So she will be with us on a Thursday at 1 o'clock, just as the districts around the state are releasing their plans to deal with remote learning through the end of the school year. We thank Susan for that question. Susan, thank you very much for that. We now have another caller on the line. We welcome Dolores to Voice of the Public. Hi, Dolores. Your question for the mayor.
I don't have a question. This is Dolores Archuleta, Mayor Pro Tem Emeritus. I just want to share with you that I was on the city council in 2004 when we set up the Tell for Sure Fund. Never would I have dreamed that we were going to use this for something as important as what we have now. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Dolores, for calling. Mayor, did you want to say something to Dolores?
Oh, no. I appreciate her leadership during those years. I think we served 2001 to 2009, and, you know, this was a I remember it well when we were trying to figure out what to do with Memorial Medical, and this lease worked out good. And I have to agree with her. Never did we realize that by putting this aside and how it's helped us both in the asylum seeker situation, and then, you know, we've gotten reimbursed, not 100%, but we're slowly getting there. And then perhaps now regarding this COVID-19 crisis.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Dolores, for calling. Again, that number to call is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. We're talking with Las Cruces Mayor Ken Miyagashima. This morning, the Las Cruces City Council unanimously approved the powers of the mayor and the city council to declare a state of emergency in the city of Las Cruces. A state of emergency has not yet been declared in the city. However, the mayor and the city council are looking at ways to help, and that includes possible funding of help through the Telshore Fund, something that was used when refugees came into our area and certainly helped enormously dealing with that crisis. Mayor, as you look back on your time as mayor of Las Cruces, you began as mayor in a crisis with our recession that lasted a very long time. And now it looks like we're not only going into an economic downturn, but a public health emergency like we've never experienced before in this country. This must be extremely sobering for you as we go into this moment in history.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's, you know, I'm used to dealing with problems that probably have existed in the past, but nothing like this. I mean, I guess if you were to go back to 1918 with the Spanish flu, that's probably the closest. And, you know, you're dealing with something that you can't see, you can't smell, you know, you've just, it could take you out, you know. And so it's a different type of crisis. And so, you know, and then, of course, the various businesses that are just, oh, it's just very, very difficult. And
yeah.
I'm appreciative of Congress and moving fast as they can with this, and appreciative of my colleagues on the city council to look and see what we can do to make sure that our local residents are taken care of to the best of our ability within the law.
You know? Absolutely.
And that's the other thing.
There has been such great support, you know, in New Mexico. We have been a leader so far in terms of being proactive in trying to ensure that we don't see the kind of outbreak here potentially that we're seeing in California and we're seeing in New York. Of course, part of those outbreaks involve huge population centers, but every effort is being taken to try to reduce the chance of having our hospitals become overwhelmed. And that's what this social distancing is all about. We're exhibiting this at KRWG, as a matter of fact, in that we're only doing telephone interviews now, including this one, Mayor, with you. We're not having folks come into the studio. We also each have our own studio at the station now, each of our on-air people, and then we have some people working from home as well. So it is an all-out effort in the state, and we certainly appreciate you taking time to talk directly to constituents about what's being done. We have a lot of callers waiting to talk to you. Our next caller on the line is Alan. Hi, Alan. Your question for the mayor.
Yes, it may not really be a question for the mayor, but it's a thought that I want to express. I wonder why people are lining up in cars for testing at Memorial Hospital, taking resources that sick people can use, the testing facilities. And it seems like an unnecessary line of cars.
Okay, well, let's get the mayor's comment on that. Mayor, are you hearing from the hospitals that there are people lining up who may not have the key symptoms that would indicate a need for testing? Those include a constant dry cough and fever and shortness of breath. Are you hearing that that's happening?
Well, no, I mean, I haven't asked that, nor have they told me that, because
okay,
a lot of times I'm just dealing with a kind of directed questions at them. But and you're right, those are the symptoms: cough, fever, shortness of breath. And so if I may, to your listeners, if they suspect something, you know, please contact their local provider, or they can call this hotline number, 855-600-3453, and then, you know, they'll kind of walk them through it, and if they feel that they really need to go see their medical provider, then they should have some tests that they can take to determine whether or not that they're infected or not.
Okay, very important information for people. We also should say that there's a resource page at krwg.org where you will find a link to testing sites throughout the state of New Mexico, including in Las Cruces. There are many other links there as well for information about coronavirus. Our number to call for questions for Mayor Ken Miyagashima is 646-2212. We do have another caller on the line. We welcome Diane. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Your question.
Well, it gets back to the internet. A couple of years ago, on a program like this, I asked the mayor about fiber optic cable at a time when other cities around the country were getting cable for the entire city, and he didn't have any plan to do that. But under the circumstances of experiencing this, it seems that maybe readdressing that, not just for kids at school, but also now that we're talking about telehealth and telecommuting and all of that, a citywide fiber optic internet system might be exactly where we should go with all of this. And maybe
okay,
utilizing some of the money for that.
Diane, thank you for that question. Mayor, of course, in your term, Wi-Fi was added to downtown Las Cruces, available when folks are downtown. Diane, talking about improving the infrastructure for broadband in the city, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. And I guess where I have to, in my opinion, balance, and this is where, you know, Wi-Fi or broadband is available throughout the city. Now, whether or not you can afford it is the question. And so I have to tell you that we know that Comcast or Xfinity, if the child qualifies certain, if the parents qualify for a certain income level, they can get it for literally nothing. But I think what the caller was talking about is just having it available, just to have it available. And then now we go against private enterprise to be able to have that, you know, because obviously if you can get it for free, why would you pay someone so much money to
pay? Yeah, you do bring up a good point that Xfinity, otherwise known as Comcast, does have a program for low-income folks who can pay a much reduced cost for internet service.
I have to interject something. I apologize for interrupting, but there's also what they call the anti-donation clause. And in fact, I was going to get to this in one of the earlier caller comments. It really ties our hands on what we can and can't do. And so this would be something that I think the legislature should take up, the state legislator, to take up, that in cases of an emergency, that anti-donation clause has been relaxed, much like what we just did today for the emergency declaration.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think anti-donation clauses help a lot and does help a lot, and it does keep an eye on what local governments are doing. But it also, in times like this, we don't need those handcuffs, so to speak. We need to be able to help the public quickly and expeditiously. And if we can somehow get that as a constitutional amendment to the state constitution that allows in declarations of an emergency by the governor, that anti-donation clause gets lifted, because that would really help us be able to do a lot more things.
Okay. We do have another caller now. We welcome Carol to Voice of the Public. Hi, Carol. Your question?
Hi. I would just want to thank you and the mayor and your whole station for all you're doing. My question has to do with the homeless population in the city. I know that Gospel Rescue Mission and Community of Hope are doing all they can and distributing meals to those that are on the street to go, because they're not bringing them into the buildings beyond those that reside there. And the numbers that reside at those two facilities is something like 75. These are folks that don't have access to water to wash their hands, and they're out there, I'm sure, in the hundreds, living along the ditches and the parks, and I'm just wondering, you know, what kind of testing and what ways are there to bring them water? Is that somewhere in the thought process? I know you have a lot on your plate. We got a lot of people right now.
Absolutely. There is certainly a lot. Carol, thank you so much for your kind words and for calling in. And the mayor, this was a question that came in on email as well prior to the show. Folks wanting to know if there are any plans to deal with a COVID-19 among the homeless population and helping the homeless in our area.
Yes, well, that's a great question. So when I sent my information to our city manager and attorney, my final version last night, under the Section 3, and I know you can't see it, and I'm just going to read it to you. I have under Section 3, Item B, as in Betty, it says, for the extremely needy, disabled, or elderly, and when I say extremely needy, I'm talking about those homeless, I wanted the city to look at possibly renting blocks of hotel rooms that would be allowed, could be used to allow them, you know, separate sleeping facilities and of such. That would actually fall. We could actually do that under the, remember I told you earlier just a minute ago about the restrictions of the anti-donation clause?
Yes.
It allows us to spend money for those that are in the indigent, you know, certain income levels, and obviously they would meet that. And so, yes, that could actually be used for that. And at the same time, it fills up some hotel rooms.
Yes, and potentially could prevent the spread of COVID-19 for those who might have COVID-19 to be able to have their own room and not expose the possibility of others getting COVID-19. Because one thing we know about this is that it is very contagious. This is one of the things that is very important, that studies so far show that this strain of coronavirus appears to infect 2 to 2.5 people versus 1.3 with the flu. So it is much more contagious than the flu,
Hence the fact that in a very short amount of time, the United States has more than 83,000 cases, more than any country in the world. With this in mind, it may have been something that people were thinking about on Facebook, Mayor. We had a Facebook question. We thank Anthony Moreno for transmitting those to me via text. And the Facebook question is the city doing anything to enforce the stay-at-home ordinance? Do you have any action on that yet, or will that be happening?
Okay, so that's a two-part question.
Sure.
Or let me a two-part answer, actually. So the order from the governor is to be administered through the New Mexico State Police. Now, there are times where they can call for Las Cruces Police for assistance, so that would really be our only involvement. Now, in the event, if we, the city, should declare an emergency and there be a curfew placed, then that would fall onto our Las Cruces Police Department to enforce that.
Okay. And that could occur in the future. It's not occurring now, then.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's not occurring now.
All right. 646-2212 to ask a question. Go ahead, Mayor.
But I would want to please remind those that are outside to please limit your gathering, public gathering, to no more than five people, social distancing. You know, we recognize you can't just stay in the house the whole time. I know you have to take, go out for a walk or whatever, but please don't do it in more than groups of five, and please try to keep your distance.
Yes, and, 6 feet apart. We're doing that as much best as we can. And as we heard from the governor earlier this week, she is really encouraging people that unless they have to go to work, as I'm at work right now, and some folks are at work, you mentioned police, medical personnel, folks at restaurants, there are people who are still at work. If you don't have to, you know, maybe you're only going out to go to the grocery store or take a walk, get a little exercise, go to a medical appointment. But otherwise, you're not out. You're in, and you're protecting the community as well as protecting yourself. We have another caller on the line now. We welcome Dan to Voice of the Public. Dan, your question for the mayor.
Yes, Mayor, you may remember some years ago, there was a committee examining the question of having municipal broadband in Las Cruces. I was part of that committee, and the result of it was that despite the city's efforts to communicate with the existing broadband providers, they simply refused to talk to us. So the result would have been, if we would have had municipal broadband, we would have had no way to communicate with the wider world, which is the whole point of the Internet, because of their refusal to cooperate. We now have a different system. And by the way, speaking of the anti-donation clause, these broadband providers, their fiber optic lines run a lot of times in city right-of-ways. And the proposal was brought up by the committee at that time that that rent for that right-of-way needs to be a part of the expense that the broadband providers have to deal with. Of course, they give us franchise they collect the franchise fee for the city. But our relationship with them under this emergency needs to change abruptly.
Okay.
Especially with all these kids, and I work with some of them in some of the schools here.
Yeah.
That are really in trouble already, with the lower expectations that we have in certain parts of the city and all that.
Okay, Dan, thank you so much for that. I want to get to the mayor's response on it because your question and the question we had earlier is also prompting the same kind of questions on Facebook related to this. In fact, one of the Facebook comments is having broadband a public health necessity? Many now may need to turn to telehealth due to COVID-19. And of course, we're hearing that students are going to be learning online. Mayor, your comments on this?
No, in fact, Dan, gosh, takes me back 10 years. I do recall that.
You've talked to Dan before, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I yes. remember that very well. But that was, and probably we need to have that discussion now, because 10 years ago, the cost was exorbitant.
Yeah.
I remember that so much. In fact, there was one community in New Mexico, a city, who actually did that, and it was very, very expensive. Could be a lot different now. But, you know, and I think Dan touched on it. Yes, they do pay us franchise fees. It's not like we allow them to go into the city rights of way for free. So that is something there that, you know, right now we're actually in the midst of working on a franchise agreement with Comcast or Xfinity, and that definitely could be something to be brought up.
Well, and Mayor, I don't know what you would say to this, but while this would certainly not be a short-term thing, it would definitely be a long-term thing if there was interest among yourself and the city council. Even looking at the possibility of municipal broadband service today is indeed, and it's probably why we're getting these phone calls and getting the comments on Facebook, very different than if we would have looked at it even a decade ago. Because for many people, having broadband is having television. That is their television. They are using broadband for much of their television viewing. It's also their phone. Because in addition to a cell phone, a lot of people have voice over internet protocol phones in their home. So this is really a much higher interest to people in terms of a service that they depend on and depend that it will be there and not be become unaffordable.
Well, let me just tell you, after listening to Dan and yourself and reminiscent of that, we'll just have a work session on municipal broadband, and let's just have staff take a look at that and see exactly what does it entail now and how much would it be.
Okay. Thank you for that, Mayor. 646-2212 is the number to call to ask questions of Mayor Ken Miyagashima. We have another caller on the line now. Jean, your question for the mayor. Hi, Jean.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay. I just, having listened to the last few callers, I just want to put in my 2 cents worth. I think that the outcry for broadband internet access goes across all strata of our society, including myself. I hadn't thought to speak of it. I did just want to, in passing, mention that I believe that Knoxville, Tennessee, is a model city with regard to how they develop municipal broadband. So that's just for the mayor's information. But my question is, what kind of testing, with the drive-up testing that's going on right now, the new testing, what type of testing is it? What is the turnaround time for it? And finally, Mayor, would you prefer for people who do not live in Las Cruces, who live in outlying areas but who come there for medical reasons, to postpone those appointments at this time until some later date to help take the burden off of your local personnel? And or how do you view that? And I'm curious about the turnaround time on these tests.
Okay, so the turnaround time, the way I understand it, is usually done relatively quick if it's sent up through through your medical provider and through the testing facility. They should have those results in no later than 72 hours, you know, 3 days, many times 2 days, 48 hours. So that in itself, but I think it has to, you know, whether you use one of the your medical provider or Department of Health, usually goes pretty quick. And I'm sorry, what was
the other? The other question was about, she was asking you whether, if you think people who come from outside of Las Cruces should delay appointments to come in here. You know, as you know, Mayor, the governor is asking for testing sites to be established in every county in the state, but that has not been done yet. So there are certainly, I'm sure, people who have an interest outside of Las Cruces and Doñana County to come in to get tested. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's what the caller was specifically on that. Mm-hmm. I got the impression it was also could have also extended to elective
other appointments. Sure, go ahead. Yes,
and I think that and I think that's prudent. I mean, if you can put off, you know, let's say it's your annual physical and you're feeling fine and you have it written down on your calendar that hey, March 30th every year is when I go. You know, can you go ahead and delay that for a month or two? I think, and then. You know, but I think also getting back to the question, if we have someone from a neighbor from Alamogordo that feels, you know, that they may have it and they don't have access to a healthcare provider and they don't want to make the phone call and they happen to be in the city, you know, why not? Because
okay.
they could, and if they test positive, you know, the majority of the infections don't require hospitalization. They can just stay at home and self-quarantine and hopefully get over.
Yeah, but it is important to know if you think you have it, because this is where we're seeing the tragic stories where families get infected, entire families, and unfortunately there have been cases where there have been multiple fatalities in families. One of the truly disturbing and important things to know about this virus is that incubation period may be up to 2 weeks where you don't have any symptoms, but you are carrying the virus. And we just had a report this morning from NPR News that they're investigating in China people who had tested positive, became ill, did have symptoms, and then they were tested again, and some of them had no symptoms, tested again, but they again tested positive. So there are big questions, and this is why we call this a novel coronavirus. It is new, and so we're still learning about this all of the time, and we have to get more scientific information before knowing all there is to know about this and the dangers involved. We are talking with Mayor Ken Miyagashima of Las Cruces, 646-2212 for your questions. We now welcome Walter. Walter, your question for the mayor.
Hi, Mayor, and thank you to both you and KRWG for this. My question slash comment is that this virus is going to pass. You know, Korea and South Korea and China have already passed sort of the hill and are well on the way to complete recovery. New Mexico is a small state. We're going to have relatively few people involved or infected in this, but the shutdown of the economy is going to loom large for the remainder of the year and probably for years to come. The issue is really one of, once we have turned the corner on this, and it could be as short as a few months from now, let's say June, we could still be looking at that point at predictions are for even a greater than 20% unemployment rate in America. So the question is, how, as the mayor of the second largest city in New Mexico, can you ensure that you can get enough pressure on the state government and the governor to make sure that we're not sitting here under a complete economic lockdown, even though we are, quote, clean, and maybe New York or other parts of the country are still battling this? Because every month that passes by where basically the entire city and the economy is shut down, that is going to trail out for years to come in terms of the economic health of this community.
Okay, Walter, thank you for your question, Mayor.
Yeah, no, he makes some very good points. I will have to say that the entire city is not in the complete, as far as the business community. There are those essential businesses that are still allowed to be open, but nonetheless, there's going to be a significant amount that are not. And so that's something there that I think some of the hardest hit would be the service industries, restaurants, hotels, motels, and such. And that's why, you know, when you stop and think, some of the callers that have brought up a lot of good points, whether it's the homeless or the extremely needy, maybe even some of our medical healthcare workers who may not have another place to go to, and then what if they infect their family? That's why, on one end, I'd like to see the city rent blocks of hotel rooms. So what does that do? That allows us to have opportunities for those that need it, whether you're homeless or extremely needy or maybe victims of domestic violence and or you're a healthcare worker that, you know, maybe you worked on someone that you think may have had the COVID-19. They haven't come back tested yet. The test has just been sent up. Do you want to go back home and possibly infect your family? But if we have some room set aside for that, and I'm envisioning, Fred, that let's say if it's a four-story hotel, which they're supposedly at 50% occupancy, if we were to rent a block of rooms, say, on the top floor, it provides what we need to have provided, at the same time providing some much-needed assistance or income to motel.
Yes. Okay, well, we only have a few minutes left in the show, and certainly we hope that our last caller's prediction is true. At this point, we do not know just how many people in the city and in the county will be exposed to this COVID-19 disease. We only know that it is much more contagious and an extremely serious threat once it begins to spread, and that's why these drastic measures are being taken, and they are medically based, the decision to do this. We have another caller on the line now, Dr. Flores. Dr. Flores, your question.
Yes, hello, hi. Hello, Mayor. This is Dr. Flores, your local psychiatrist. I just had two...
Well, you're not my personal psychiatrist, but I guess you mean...
You are a local psychiatrist is what you meant to say, Dr. Flores. Go ahead, your question, sir.
Yeah, I just have two things I'd like to say. First of all, on just for information, I think a lot of folks who are currently in treatment here with our local providers, the question is what's available now is that clients can continue to receive services through the providers in their homes. The state has now allowed for counseling and my visits to be done over the telephone on an audio or visual media, which is obviously very important and helpful.
And Dr. Flores, are you seeing more requests for counseling, whether they be in person or through telehealth, as a result of anxiety over this situation?
I don't know if I'm seeing more, but the current clients who have histories of these anxiety, depression problems are very stressed right now because
okay.
of the uncertainty and the unknown. And what I wanted to say is that my next question has to do a question to the mayor about are we doing the contact testing or tracing when the local state health departments do find a positive? Are they... I'm sure they're tracing where that individual had gone, what places they visited.
Okay, Dr. Flores, thank you for that question. We have about 2 minutes left. Mayor, what are you hearing about that tracing the contacts that people have made when they test positive? What are you hearing about that?
Yes, yeah, so it's my understanding that if the test results come back positive, they're obviously told to stay home, and then they're contacted either by the medical provider or the Department of Health for further instructions. And, they try to find out other things like, you know, where you may have gotten that from, whether you were traveling or did you come in contact with someone that possibly could have had it. So they do that tracing. And if I may, real quick, Fred, one of the proposals, one of the things that I was wanting to look at, the council to look at, is telemedicine. And what Dr. Flores is talking about is absolutely needed, I believe, so that residents can call them when they have concerns. And this right now is causing a lot of anxiety for a lot of people.
Okay, such an important program for people to have a chance to talk to you directly, Mayor, And unfortunately, we weren't able to get to all of our callers. There were so many people who wanted to talk to you today. I apologize to those that we didn't get to, but we got to a lot of people. And Mayor, we appreciate you as we close out here, giving that chance. We have about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I can. So my email is mayor@las-cruces.org, or they can tweet me, the @ Mayor Ken LC. You know, if you have any questions, write them down. I'll do my best to respond.
All right. Mayor, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Mayor Ken Miyagashima with us on Voice of the Public. For all of us at KRWG News, I'm Fred Martino.